This recording is with permission from Scholastic Limited. Chapter 16, He Smells Like Blood. The pain cracked through the surface of the dream and wrenched me into wakefulness. Lightning bolts recoiled inside my skull and sparked against my eyelids. The headaches were getting worse. I wondered if it was to do with Caleb's dreams being eaten and my memories along with them. I squeezed my eyes tightly shut. The dream was still muddling up my thoughts. It had been a nightmare of flame and choking smoke, which cleared to a great emptiness, leaving me drained and trembling. The ache from missing Mama beat against the inside of my chest. Tao stirred but didn't wake. I leaned my forehead against his back. The warmth of his fur was soothing, and the headache evaporated, leaving me feeling shaky but relieved. I sat up and peered around the room. It was early, but I could tell it would soon be dawn from the way the dark was weakening. Mally was still asleep, her hair spilled out from between the folds of the blanket. The sickly smell of the sap coated my throat. I glanced at the woodpile, but there was no movement from the spiders. Mally's trick with the sap had worked. The realization that I wouldn't have lasted this long without her made me shiver. My whole body felt heavy with tiredness. I must have only skimmed the surface of sleep, but I couldn't rest any longer. Now that I was awake, all I could think about was Caleb. I wished there was a way to let him know that I was on my way. I folded my knees up against my chest. I closed my eyes. I remembered seeing my brother for the first time. Mama had called me into her room. The small space had smelled like sunburned skin and sweat, even though the windows were fully open. Rain had been late that year as well. Every year the rains had been later and later, and the summer hotter and hotter. The warmth from the sun poured into the room. Granny Uma held a tiny bundle of cotton cloth in her arms. "Meet your baby brother, Amaya." She'd parted the cloth for me to see. I'd stared at his scrunched up face. He had smelled of wood chips and stembark flowers, and something else, something fearful. "He smells like blood," I'd said and backed away. Granny Uma hadn't disagreed. "He needs a bath." She handed the bundle back to Mama, then began filling the tub with water warmed on the stove. The steam filled the room. "Come here, small daughter." Mama reached towards me, stretching out across the distance between us. I hesitated for a moment. Then I ran into her one-armed embrace. She hugged me as tight as if she had two arms free. "This is your small brother. His name is Caleb." She didn't look away from me. "I want you to promise to care for him." Her eyes were too bright. It was like looking at the sun. "I promise." Mama smiled and her eyes softened. "Now take him to Granny Uma for his bath. I need some rest." She showed me how to hold him, with my arm supporting his neck. He studied me with his eyes that seemed too big, almost big enough to fill the empty space left by Papa, who had walked away one night and never come back. "Hello, small brother," I whispered. The memory faded and I opened my eyes. I felt the wetness of tears on my cheeks, but I didn't brush them away. "I've broken Mama's promise." I heard the first day bird start to wake up, and I stood, careful not to disturb Tao or Mally. The earth floor felt cold under my feet as I walked to the window, where I peered out, searching for signs of the sun through the trees. It was switching hour. The moon was skulking back into its lair under the horizon, and the sun was stretching out its arms. The sky was divided into gold and grey. A movement caught my eye. Something was in the clearing. It was a shadow, shifting in shape like a creature within a dark sackcloth bag, trying to escape. I squinted and pressed my face against a crack in the wood. It moved into the morning sun. As it moved, the shape of nothingness filled with light. It shimmered and transformed. Where there had been a shadow, there was now a reflection. A person with dark hair and darker eyes. It was a person that I knew like my own self. My breath rushed out. "Mama?" I whispered. I ran to the door and fumbled for the lock, but my hand was slapped away. "What are you doing?" Mally hissed. "The switching hour isn't over yet." I ignored her. I reached for the lock again, but Mally grabbed my arm. "No, Amaya." She wrapped both arms around me and heaved me away from the door. She was a lot stronger than me, but I struggled and kicked out. "It's my mama," I wheezed. Mally was squeezing too tight. "My mama's outside." Mally eased her grip but didn't let me go. "I thought your mama was..." She didn't finish, but her hold on me relaxed, enough for me to struggle free and grab the lock. With a click, the bolt loosened, and I swung the door open. I stepped into the clearing. "Mama?" I whispered. "Amaya." Her voice sounded far away, yet so close it felt as if the words were already inside my head, waiting to be unlocked at this exact moment in time. She smiled, and the creases around her eyes were the same. Every line, every detail was perfect. The empty space was gone. "Is it really you?" I swallowed around the rattle of fear in my throat. Instinctively, I knew that this vision understood every part of me. It knew everything I'd ever done, everything I'd ever said. It knew me, like a mother knows her own daughter, but its eyes weren't mama's. I could see a hunger there. The hunger became my own. My belly ached with it, a strong tug that pulled me towards the shape of my mama. The memories came flooding back. I remembered how she'd brushed my hair softly, being careful of the knots and tangles, all the while scolding me for not tying it up properly. The smell of her laundry soap on her hands, the wood bark on her clothes from chopping up firewood for the stove, her belly laugh that made me laugh too. Her singing voice that sent me off to sleep, safe knowing she was watching over me. It hurt to remember those memories, exposing the emptiness where she used to be. "I miss you so much, Mama." I could stop fighting. I could just let those painful memories go. No more nightmares. Give them to Badako. A hand yanked me backwards, snapping me awake. Mally grabbed my shoulder. I tried to shrug her off, but she wrapped her arms around me. "It's not your Mama," she whispered. "It looks just like her," I said, but the tears had found their way into my throat, and I choked on the words. The shape was beginning to evaporate as the light grew stronger. "Please don't go." "We need to go back inside, Amaya," Mally said. "It isn't safe." I took one more look at the face that was so wonderful, the face I saw every night in my dreams. The shadow shape of my mama reached out across the space between us. "Amaya," it said in mama's voice. But I knew Mally was right. It wasn't her. It was the Badako's cruelty. I turned and let Mally guide me back into the house, blinded by my tears. Once inside, Mally slammed the door shut. I heard the bolt click into place. She pulled me towards the hearth and sat me down beside Tao, who curled up against my side. "That was a horrible trick," Mally said angrily, sat down next to me. "It looked just like my mama." The memories had overwhelmed me, yanking me back to the past when everything had been fine. Now I was trapped in the present, without mama or Caleb. "Do you want me to tell what happened to her?" I wiped my wet face with my scarf. "We used to live in the eastern town," I said quietly. "I went swimming at the lake. Mama had been so tired with Caleb just being born. Granny Uma was looking after Caleb, taking him on her rounds, checking in on another new mama. But my mama must have left the stove door open by mistake. An ember started a fire that spread to the thatch. My throat felt dry. Mama was sleeping inside when it burned down. The old itchy thought resurfaced. If Mama hadn't been so tired, she would have woken up in time. I refused to scratch it. Ever since she's been gone, I've been afraid of the empty space. Mally frowned. "What space?" "The space that's eating up my memories of her," I tried to make Mally understand. "The forgetfulness that's destroying the memory of my Mama. And now the empty space is eating up the memory of my small brother." Mally stood and pulled me to my feet. "It's time to go," she said. "We're going to find your brother and bring him home." After breakfast, I packed up my bag, counting out the millet grain, a small chunk of goat's cheese and a rock-stale bread. We don't have enough food to last the journey there and back. I shoved the thought to the back of my mind. Right now, my only goal was to find Caleb. A golden glint from the bottom of my bag snatched my attention. My tinderbox. I pulled it out, seeing the indent of my name. I pressed my thumb down on the engraving, forcing the mark of it on my skin for a moment before it faded back into the lines of my fingerprint. It made my heart stronger to feel the name that Mama had given to me. "Amaya," Mally called. She waved me over, the map open in her hands. I slipped in the tinderbox into my pocket of my tunic and joined her. "Which way?" I asked, peering over her shoulder. Her finger followed the path that snaked around the hut and led deeper into the forest. She jabbed at the Red Cross. "We're a day's journey from the next refuge point," she said. "It's the last refuge hut, before the centre of the forest. If we get there tonight, we'll be close enough to head to the dead tree at first light tomorrow." Mally pushed the map to the bottom of her pack. We left the hut, with the smell of the sap still lingering inside. It felt good to breathe clean air again. "Tao!" I called out, and the goat came running. We walked out away from the clearing and followed the path. I counted the days I had been in the forest. Today is the third since